Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as I always love to say, I thank and praise God for allowing me to be back amongst my listening audience once again as we study together the Word of God. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He pitied my every groan. Let us go before the throne of grace. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come into your presence for the study of your word. We pray now, Lord, that our hearts will be on one accord, that we will move mightily forward, Father, for redemption of those souls that your Son has died for, that we might build the kingdom of heaven together. We ask now, Lord, that you allow your Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct this study, that we might glean from those things that would conform us more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Show us, Father, where we have done wrong, Father, and forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might be found worthy in thy sight. This is your servant's prayer, for it is in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in Acts, the second chapter. We went through verses 32 through 39, and I it was last week when we had to close out, we were talking about this repent, and basically comes from Acts 2:38. And let me just read that particular scripture, because as I was saying, that this is a point of controversy in the body of Christ many times, and so many people believe that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. But let me read verse 38 and then 39 also. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God, our God, has called. Now, we are seeing that Peter had been preaching his sermon, and as he preached the sermon, proving that Jesus of Nazareth was, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We found that last week when he said that when Peter presented him both as Lord and Savior, it says that the Greek means that in the word Lord was kurios, which means a title that's only given to God, and Christ, both Lord and Christ, and that means Christos, or the Son, the anointed Son of God. So Jesus is being presented both as God and the anointed Son of God. He is the Messiah. And now Peter is, when he's preached this sermon, the hearts and minds of those who have listened to the truth as he has brought back to their remembrance many of the Old Testament scriptures, now their hearts are pricked to the point that they cry out, what shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, last week we talked about that preposition of in the phrase for the remission. I should say the word for the remission of sins. We know that in the Greek that word can mean in order to obtain, or it also means because of obtaining. And this verse, like I said, and I don't want to belabor this point, but I believe that it needs to be clarified, at least scripturally. There are many out there that believe that if you are not baptized, then you are not truly saved. But the word does not teach them. Let's say, repent. So Peter commands and demands that first they repent. And in fact, grammatically speaking, he said, repent now. And the Bible means, in the word means to change one mind. But as I was closing out last week, I brought up to the topic, it just doesn't mean to change one mind, but it means also to hate those things which we have done as an act of sin. Because if you and I don't hate our actions that are an affront to God, those things that God calls and determines as sin, then there is no big deal. We kind of make light of it rather than realizing because of the sins we have committed that Jesus had to die to pay the price for those sins. So when you and I sin, we ought to realize and recognize a great price had to be paid, and we should never take our sin lightly. In yesteryear, preachers used to talk heavily upon sin, but it seems now in our modern day and age, sin is kind of a fad. We don't talk about it with the power of which the Word says that sin is an affront to God. It costs God his only begotten Son. He had to watch and turn his back on his Son as his Son died a thief's death on a cross, that we, the unrighteous, might be able to become before this throne of grace. So therefore, when it comes to the term repent, it needs to be deep-rooted. It needs to be heartfelt. It needs to be searched out. It needs to be reasoned out. It needs to be prayed out. It needs to be cried out before God that says, I do not wish to do this any longer. Lord, help me with my shortcomings. Help me where I've fallen short. Help me where I'm blind. Help me where I'm deaf. Help me where my heart is hard, that I might not do these things over and over and over again, because I love you and I know and recognize that you love me first. So therefore, I want to do something different. And then as one repents, there ought to be an evidence of one's differing actions. If I say I've repented of my sins and yet you see no change in my life, then did I truly repent? Because if I repented, I would do everything within me, not that I could do it in my own strength, but because I'm a child of God and because the Holy Spirit lives within me, therefore I can call on the Spirit to give me the strength to overcome. Now, many times people fall into the satanic trap of believing that because you have the urge to do something, and once you've sensed that urge, that is sin. But the Bible clearly states it doesn't become sin until we put it into action. Now, when it starts running through our minds, we need to start the fight of faith right then and there. We need to, like the old adage says, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you certainly can stop them from nesting in your hair. So when we find inappropriate thoughts running through our minds, and I like to determine those as the fiery darts of Satan, when we realize that these things are happening to us, then we cannot entertain those thoughts, because the longer we begin to entertain those thoughts, the more we'll get entangled in those thoughts. And if at a weak moment in time, we might perform the action that we dreaded in the first place. I hope that makes sense to you. Now, the particular verb used 34 times in the New Testament and is translated to change one's mind for the better, to wholeheartedly reform one's life with the hatred of past sins. So therefore, you and I have to get to the point where sin becomes so troubling to us that we hate it. Now, let's talk about this word repentance a little bit more, and let me read some text out of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 11. It says, now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now notice carefully, if you will, the proper attitude that is commanded to be displayed at the coming of the Lord. These are the fruits and the evidences of repentance. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself had a garment of camel hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then, verse 5, then Jerusalem was going out to him and all of Judea and all the district around Jordan. Now we see the baptism ministry of John the Baptist here. Now, verse 6, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, and as they confessed their sins. So again, we see that when true repentance takes place, there has to be a confession of sin. Not just a mindful acknowledgement of it, but it needs to be a confession of sin. True repentance is seen when people confess their sin. When there was repentance in the Old Testament, there was confession of sins. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. Verse 7, but when we saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Verse 9, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father, for I say unto you that God is able from these stones to rise up children to Abraham. So this verse now shows us that religious heritage does not mean repentance or salvation has taken place. Because many people believe because they have come to church and they visit church and they come to Bible study, they come to Sunday school, they come to church every time the doors are open, that that makes them a saved soul. Verse 10 in Matthew, the third chapter. And the axe is ready laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 11, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not to lift or to remove his, not fit, excuse me, to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. So we see again that the importance of repentance is the confession of sins. I don't know why or how we have lost that pertinent point in our church services, but we must understand that when people walk the aisle and they come forward, there must be a confession of sin. I believe that many times, well-intended as we may be, that we get so excited and so anxious about someone coming to the Lord that we just explain the way of salvation, but we don't give them an opportunity to confess their sins. And I'm saying this in all honesty because I, as I'm saying it, I'm listening to my own heart and I'm saying to myself, when my staff receives people, I need to go back and check, are you allowing them to confess their sins? Now, I know this does not mean that you're going to open up every dirty thought you ever had and present these before the public, but we do need to kind of give an acknowledgement, a verbal acknowledgement of the confessions of our sins. Because when we realize how we have let God down, it ought to break our hearts. If it doesn't break our hearts, then there's something wrong with our heart. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time left before we have to wind down, so I don't want to go too much further, but I hope, again, that we understand that we need to understand this verse in the second chapter, verse 38. And next week, I know I'm kind of taking some time with this, but it needs to take some time. We need to understand what Peter meant, and it doesn't mean baptismal regeneration as some teach. We are saved by grace and not of works, because baptism is of works. Please tune in again next week. Pray for me as I pray for you, that the word of God will go out strongly and enrich the lives of those who hear the word. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. Take care and God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.